Full disclaimer, I have a large, painful canker sore on the side of my tongue, and I am leaning on you to bring the hot fire jokes today.
Right. So no head then?
Roll the intro.
Let's go home.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast Wild Till 9, the podcast where Jeremy is definitely not getting a blowjob the next 3 to 5 days until my tongue heals.
Is that business days or is that?
If we're recording this on a Friday, I think it's business days. I don't know, babe. I don't know.
Whatever. Fuck it. It's Friday night. Turn up.
Turn up with our hydration station. I love how it's like on the weekdays we're here getting litty as a titty,
right.
And then on Friday we're like aqua.
I just I have had nothing but technical difficulties all week.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to throw all of this equipment into the trash and just burn it down.
Okay.
But we're gonna just fucking truck right through that.
Yep.
And talk about some dumb shit.
Let's talk about some dumb shit. Okay, well, first dumb thing on the agenda that is honestly very important. Like, it might be the most important thing of the podcast. We need help desperately. And
in many ways. And we're going to go through one very small one first.
And that is that we as a collective, as Wild Till 9 pod listeners, we need some kind of squad name. Like, Call Her Daddy has Daddy Gang. And, I was just saying that Sweet Boys, I personally, I'm a big fan of Sweet People. They're only 4 episodes in right now, so I don't think that they have a name for their people. But Sweet People is really cute. Sweet Peas, that's pretty cute too.
That's pretty cute.
Anyways, so I'm over here brainstorming for Sweet Boys what they should name their squad.
Yeah, we can get back to our name. So we would like to have a name.
Right.
No, we.
We as a collective, as a group.
You listening and watching and us.
And us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Wild Till Niners feels like a sports team, and I hate that.
Well, right, because... Oh, right, because it's like the
49ers. The 49ers, yeah.
Right.
The Wild Till Niners, like, fuck, no, we can do better than that.
Yeah, well, in the event we can't, let's not completely
throw
it out.
We can do better than that. We can do better than that. You know what? I have faith in the Wild Till Niners. See how bad that sounds? We need help.
Well, it sounds bad when you're like, that name fucking sucks. I would never call anybody that name. I would only call someone who I hated that name. So if the Wild Till Niners can't figure something out better, like, you insulted them and then asked them for help.
No, I'm stumped and I need help.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm currently at. And the lidocaine has officially just worn off of my tongue and I can now feel everything.
Got it. Okay. So
the rest of the pod is yours, babe. You've got the stage.
I'm glad you've all gathered here. I've got 55 more minutes of beautiful things to talk about.
Oh, and next dumb shit thing on the list is we're not even you know what happened is that we got 2 XLs of the Wild Till 9 merch. And it's much too large for me and fits Jeremy like a glove. And so I now have to sit through the pain of not having merch to wear and Jeremy gets to wear. And it's so soft and so warm and so thick. And I just have to watch him thrive.
When you ordered the same size as me for this hoodie.
Yeah.
What did you want then?
Well, okay, so here's the thing, is that this hoodie is so thick. And like, I'm not even just saying this to be a salesperson. This hoodie is so thick and warm that it just like doesn't hang the way that like a cheap thin like Hanes sweater does. And so it just fits differently.
There's not much cooking here. Yeah.
High quality.
I wish we knew what the name of the URL would be, because we'd stay right now, but we don't fucking know yet.
Right.
It's a Friday. That's Tuesday or Wednesdays.
That's a Tuesday or Wednesday thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, so
we'll let you know.
You could probably just search Google.
We'll put in the link below. If you go down. Anywhere you're listening or watching, just go down.
We're doing really well so far.
Anyway, welcome back. How's it been? How was your fucking week? Tell us everything. We're super excited. After you have commented a fantastic idea below for what the name of the audience is going to be that's not Wild Till Niners.
Right.
Love to get an update. Hear what's going on. Give us your feedback.
Yeah.
Well, not really feedback. I don't really want to hear that. Just let us know what's going on.
Only
Christmas plans.
Nice.
What?
Only if it's nice.
Right. Okay, only like positive feedback.
Right.
If it's negative, just watch something else. And then, how's your Hanukkah? How's your Christmas? How's all of it?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Christmas soon.
Yeah.
Christmas soon.
I know.
Oh, my God. Jeremy still hasn't got me a present, and my present is hot fire. I'm going to be honest. My present for you, hot fire.
There have been 3 or 4 listeners that have quite literally in my DMs been like, what'd you get Lauren for Christmas? And I'm like, yeah, I haven't got it yet. And they're like, no, but like, what'd you get her? I was like, I haven't got it yet. They're like, I won't tell her. I was like, bro, I haven't fucking got it yet.
Yeah, well, that's tough. I love that for me, that just people are looking out for me.
You know, when you told me exactly what gift to get you and then told me to split it with your mother, I think that just like put me into this like, you know what, I'll get around to it, I'll get around to it.
Does that mean I'm not getting a gift?
No, you can get a gift.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought that there's so much.
I got your stocking stuffer.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, I got your stocking stuffer. Yeah.
Hang on. Is it one stocking stuffer?
Yeah, it's one.
One?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
I have a whole bag of shit for you.
Quantity does not mean quality.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
All right. Oh my God, I can't wait to wrap Moose's stocking. I'm so excited.
Me too, babe. Me too.
I'm so excited. Okay, so I got an interesting message this week on our community on the Wild Till 9 hotline. You can text us. What's our number?
I don't know. It's below.
It's below. Okay. Well, yeah. We're doing really fucking well today.
The URL's right there.
It's right there. It really is right there. So I got an interesting text this week that really prompted, honestly, some self-reflection, a moment to look inwards for myself. And I thought I could...
Wait, pause, stop. Also, there's an Instagram, and then there's also a YouTube account you should follow, too.
And a Twitter.
Yeah, we got our Twitter.
We have our Twitter.
Who gave us a Twitter account?
Oh, my God. I'm pretty sure her name was Rachel, and she was so sweet. So we both slept on accident on getting the Twitter handle Wild Till 9 before we even launched the pod.
You know, like when there's two people doing everything, you like kind of like divide and conquer, mm-hmm. and like you do this and I do that. And like Lauren does all of like the creative design assets things. I do all the back end stuff, get everything set up and getting the accounts off. But like there's certain things that like she has a better plug at like certain social platforms and this and that. So like we divide and conquer. And then there's some things that we divide and then we never really conquer.
And they fall through the cracks.
Thank God someone else conquered that for us.
Yes.
And then we reached out and we're like, oh fuck, what are we gonna have? Like we're gonna have to like mortgage the house.
Sell a soul. Yeah.
To get this thing. And she was like, no, just making sure you guys got it. And I was like,
literally, thank you so much, Rachel. Let me double check her name. I wrote her name down because.
Give her full name out.
No, I'm not going to give her full name, but I just want to make sure I'm getting it right. I want to give her the recognition. And also, she is the first person, literally before me, getting a Wild Till 9 hoodie.
Well, I have one.
She is literally the second person in front of me getting a Wild Till 9 hoodie.
Got it. It's me and you, Rach.
Rachel. Thank you, Rachel. We love you so much and we appreciate you more than ever. Oh my God. Okay, you coming up. Okay, so I got a text message to the Wild Till 9 hotline. And I couldn't find the exact message or else I'd read it word for word verbatim. But essentially, she was in the predicament of feeling like she was damaged goods. After being in a long-term relationship, she had been single for just over a year now. And her ex is now engaged. And so she's feeling hesitant about getting back in the dating game and she feels like she's damaged good. So she obviously like still hasn't fully recovered or moved on and just isn't feeling good. And I'm sure a lot of different ways.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that I've had the damaged goods feelings.
Okay.
As much
really?
As, I mean, I have, but not like.
Like me.
I didn't know how to say that. I feel as if you have more experience feeling that like damaged goods than I do.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And like, let's dive in like, before we start just getting into our like past
shit,
traumas.
You just fucking
and
went
stuff.
Right into it.
No,
God.
I was going to say,
fun episode. Turn
let
it up.
Me
Friday
warm
night.
It
damaged
up.
Goods.
Let me fucking warm it up first. Jesus.
You just already told me no heads. I don't know what we're warming up.
Yeah. Well, this is verbal foreplay for when we're about to get into like my trauma. Okay. So, first of all, like, let's talk about. How you move on and like post breakup, you feel like ass. Like you, it feels like the end of the world. You feel like shit. You know, like whether it hits you right away or like a month later. I feel like you always hear that phrase that like girls, and this is like the most stereotype of all stereotypes, that girls feel it immediately and then a month later are fucking thriving, hot as ever, and just like absolutely living their best life. And men, they immediately are like. not so bad, and then a month later they are just in their underwear eating ice cream, playing video games, acting like a degenerate, and are then sad a little bit later.
I was gonna say, is there a portion that's different than a lot of other times? Because the first half was very much me, like minus the video games. Ice cream, stoned on the couch.
Yes We have a photo. I wish I could post it. It's very funny. So I like, what is what's your go-to post-breakup? Like, what's your routine? What's your breakup routine?
Sex.
Oh.
Sex, absolutely. Always.
Wow. Men really do think with their penises. It's insane.
I'm not going to... Listen, I'm not speaking for every man that's ever existed. Yeah. I'm just saying for me, I go to what is
female and breathing.
Yeah. Yeah. End of age.
End of age. End of age.
That's
very important.
That's
very
an important piece. Yeah.
Yeah. That is the most important piece. I feel like.
Nope.
Breathing. Breathing. Maybe is more.
Breathing is not. Not more.
Well, actually, maybe.
I would
maybe
say equal.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not
going
to put one ahead of the other one.
Okay.
Necrophilia and pedophilia.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I mean, yeah. I think that's a common one. Honestly. What's that other? Well, no, not that one. I meant sex. Sex
Got it.
Is,
okay,
is what I meant.
And realistically, it's not because I'm like, oh, let's go have sex. To me, I feel like all the times that I've gone from in a relationship to single, it's let's go out.
Right.
With some I'm not going to call my academic friends to sit there and have a nice discussion about it and discuss my feelings. I'm going to call whoever I know is always down for a good time.
Right.
I'm going to give them that line of like, you'll never guess what, this, meet me here. And I know that person will drop whatever they're doing and
right.
come and meet me.
And you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
And it'll probably end in sex. I also think there's an ego element to that too, because it's like obviously it's a feeling of rejection post
right.
breakup,
right?
And then when someone random decides that they want you in that moment, you're like, oh shit, I still got it,
right? I mean, and that's not to say that if the relationship ended in a specific way that hurt my feelings, somehow maybe it'd be different, but
right.
all I'm saying is from my past experiences, that's typically been my MO.
Oh, okay.
How about you?
I mean, we've talked about this before, but when I am getting out of a relationship, it's usually because I, I don't want to say have what's that, beat it like a dead horse? Is that it?
I don't want to beat a dead horse.
I don't want to beating a dead horse.
No, you beat the dead horse.
Horse is dead.
It's cold.
Horse is cold. Okay. Yeah. We're getting, there's way too much talk about dead stuff, in the first 15 minutes of the pod, and I'm uncomfortable.
Well, no more dead stuff. Then.
No more dead stuff.
You're the one beating horses.
You're the one necrophilia. You brought that up.
I simply gave it a name. I called it what it was.
So my thing is that when I'm exiting a relationship, it is because I have given 445%, and I should have probably exited much earlier, but I haven't. And so when I do exit, it's been time to go. So there's just no chance. I've never gotten back with an ex. When I exit, it's an exit. And so after that, I feel like there's people are like, oh, you should spend time alone, healing, working on you, focusing on you. And I do think that's important. I think you need to be okay with yourself being alone. But I also feel like for me personally, and this is more on an emotional level versus a sexual
right.
level, but I immediately want to just meet other people as a reminder that there are other fish in the sea. You just spend so much.
And by fish, you mean men with penises.
Men with penises
right.
in L.A. is what I meant by that.
Men with a penis, actually. I'm gonna
right,
revise
one
that.
Penis, one
yeah.
penis. Men with one penis. Mm-hmm. I actually, oh my God, this is so off topic, but someone just showed me a photo of a guy
we
that
together.
Had. Yes,
yeah.
with the two penises.
Yeah.
And they were the same size. That was the shocking part.
I don't remember.
They were the
size
exact same
penises,
size.
Yeah.
And it was a V penis.
Well, it'd be better than that than one big one and one small one. Although that would be better for different options.
That gives you options. That gives you options.
Mm. I wonder if they can both come.
That's so odd. Or what if it's one come and then it splits off into two?
I'd like
I
to
have
go
so
back
many
to,
questions.
to whatever we were talking about before this.
Got it. So officially flagging this as an episode that my father cannot listen to.
And there goes monetization again.
Yeah, well, I think when you said necrophilia, we might have lost it.
That's a scientific term.
Sure, sure. I need a reminder that there are other people in the world, and it's not even about them being interested in me. Obviously it's flattering for someone to want to go on a date with me or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's more just about, fuck you.
What?
But it's more about me. I will fucking kill you.
You're about
to lose a co-host. You're about to lose a co-host in 4 seconds. Jeremy Michael Lewis, drop the tone.
Okay, mom.
Drop the tone.
Go ahead.
Jeremy's mom in a group text today said Jeremy Michael.
Yeah, she did.
I enjoyed it. It was pretty funny.
She brings out the middle name when she's had enough.
Yeah, she's had enough.
Anyway, Lauren.
I need emotionally to know that there are other types of humans out there. You know what I mean? After you spend so much time revolving your life around one person who has, a certain set of characteristics and you're like, well, fuck, that didn't work. I need to go out and meet other people and be like, oh, like you get to feel out the different senses of humor, you know, and you get to feel out how someone will interact with like a waiter. Cause I always feel like that says so much about someone if they're nice to someone in like the customer service industry. And I don't know, I just feel like I need reminders, and maybe this is very shallow and selfish, but this is part of like my healing process, is that I need to see other one penis men out in the world being a one penis man.
Got it. Okay.
You know?
Yeah. That wasn't, was that a filter on Hinge?
A one penis man?
Yeah.
I don't think it is, but Hinge, we would love to lend you that idea. I just don't think that there are that many more than one penis men that would need to turn that filter on.
And I don't know if they would necessarily lead with that.
I mean, fucking shit, they might. Maybe not on Hinge, but I think on Tinder, that would be more of a Tinder thing.
Yeah. Not that I don't want to get back on track, but I don't think necessarily, here's my thing. I think people get taking care of themselves and being selfish, like confused sometimes, because nothing about what you said, you weren't doing anything that was taking away from anybody else.
Agreed.
So it's just like, I don't think that's really selfish. I think that's just making sure that you're putting your own priorities first.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, yeah, I definitely was not hurting anyone.
Yeah.
And I mean, the dates that I went on, pre you, I was very open and being like, yeah, I've been single for 6 seconds. Like I'm just out here going, hanging out with people.
You know, I mean? Remember like, when you said that, and then 10 minutes later, here we are. Yeah. But no, I just like, to me, however you need to heal,
yeah,
you should heal.
I agree.
I mean, just short of, you know, hurting yourself more with other things, but like, you know, whatever it is that you're missing, like, to a degree, I think even if it's something that's not necessarily good for you long term, there's a quick reminder of like, oh, and that's why I don't go out on Tuesdays. Got it.
Right. And I think too, just like looping back on her question, like I'm sad that she's focused on, not focused, but I'm just sad and empathetic towards her that she feels like she's behind, and that it's not like a competition, but she feels like she's lagging.
The fact
lagging.
That she mentioned that the ex is engaged colors the whole thing for me.
For sure. For sure. And I mean, I think part of me is like, she, and obviously we don't know any of the details of the breakup, of the relationship, etc. But I want,
we know that she's a listener and we don't know that he is, so fuck that guy.
Yeah, so fuck that guy. We're on your side, bitch. Yeah. We got you. And like, I wonder if she's thinking that should have been me. I wish that was me. Why wasn't I good enough that was me? Like when it happens so fast like that. So if it was in a year span, like, how long was he single for? How long did they date for? And then they got engaged. Like, that is a pretty quick timeline. And so,
but that,
like,
happens to a lot of guys.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I guess.
But I also, like, guys are very good at, and like, speaking from experience, like, like I've said, like, not doing that thing. And then the moment it's over, it's like, I guess I could do that thing.
Right.
And mostly because the new girl hasn't been nagging me about it since day one. So,
totally.
Kind of a positioning thing.
Yeah. That's so true. That is so true. Oh, yeah, I don't know. It colors it for sure. And like, I think the biggest pivotal moment for me when I went from being hurt and feeling like damaged goods out of my last breakup was feeling like, I guess, sorry for myself and pitying myself, and not like pitying myself, but being like, why wasn't I good enough? What did I not do enough of? Why was I not loved enough for this to happen? But it was more like, well, fuck, if you don't want to do this with me, there's going to be someone else who's excited about doing life with me. And it wasn't you. Fine. We're moving on. We're past that. I'm going to go and, you know, live my life for me, not focus on the past, because that's done now, and find someone who's excited about you. And I think that's like the biggest thing. If she's focused on the past and what could have been or what might have happened, like, I think it's about looking forward. And obviously, if she needs to look at her present and just like herself and like spend time healing and figuring out what's making her feel like damaged goods, obviously, like, spend time doing that for sure. And if you have to go have sex, go have sex. If you have to go find a one penis man, go find a one penis man. But I think it's focusing on the future and being like, well, shit, like, we're just two people. It didn't work out. I'm going to go try again and find someone who's excited about me and excited about a future together.
I mean, yeah, it gets different for everybody. And because to me, like, the damaged goods thing, it's not like there's a quick instruction manual to be able to reset that, right? Like, the damage is different for everybody. So I think that there's no time limit. There's no amount of penis. There's no amount of girl, there's an amount of guys, there's an amount of whatever. It doesn't matter. I think it's unique to everybody. Mm-hmm. And realistically, I think it's only compounded in times like now when we're all stuck at home and have nothing but like old memories to look back on, because a lot of us aren't making new ones.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
The amount of high school friends that I've reconnected with during this last like 8 months has been insane.
Yeah, I haven't talked to anybody from my high school, but that.
No, but it's true. It's like you're like our future, everything about everyone's future right now is so like kind of like a...
We're all on hold.
Like a haze.
We're
all
on hold.
Like no one knows what it's going to look like. So yeah, I know that totally makes sense.
Especially like we're entering cuffing season. Shit, we're in cuffing season.
I said, what do you mean? We are peak cuffing season right now.
We're entering cuffing season, and just short of you making serious commitments, like cuffing season's very different this year.
It is.
So it's just like, I think there's a lot of things going on right now. Is Mercury in retrograde? Is
I have no fucking idea. That's not my thing.
Okay, got it.
Somewhere, I don't know anything about Mercury.
Okay, got it. Well, you know, if it is, that too.
Yeah, I mean, that too. Yeah, that too.
So do you want to share with the audience how broken of a woman you are, or?
What do you mean? I'm not broken. I'm fucking great.
I know. You just have more experience in this book than I do.
I've had a lot of people, and by a lot of people, I mean six very vocal people in my DMs making accusations about past public relationships that are pretty fucking wild. And so that has led me to feel like I need to make some kind of blanket statement that this is not shade. This is literally just my life experience. Like, this is something that has happened to me, and we have a relationship podcast, and this is our podcast. So like, this is not talking shit. This is not shade. But for the six people in my DMs, honestly, just fuck off.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that the six people in the DMs probably don't, actually, they probably do watch this.
Yeah, they
just
probably
to
do.
Get pissed about something.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Fuck off. All six of you.
Yeah. All six of you. Fuck right off. And this is our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's our podcast.
It's our podcast. And these are our experiences. So again, like, this is what has happened to me and how it made me feel.
Stop having to, you just talk about what you want to talk about.
Okay.
Don't worry about those six people. Don't worry about it.
Okay, they're bullying me.
I know. Fuck off. Like, I know. People
oh
are mean.
My God.
Shit. I posted something on Instagram the other day. And like, people were like, fuck that little kid. And I'm like, yeah, whatever.
And I was back like, yeah, fuck that little kid.
Yeah, just like,
you
know,
yeah.
If you're going to hate, just whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and this is what I will say before we dive into trauma, is that like, because I did have such a public relationship, people love to take the curated content that was presented to them and make their own assumptions, which is fair. You're allowed to have your own opinion. But it just gives people so much space to create a dialogue that just absolutely does not exist and can victimize one person or the other. And it happens on both sides. Like, we both experience that 100%. And I'm not trying to contribute to that is basically what I'm trying to say. I feel like I have a relatable story and experience that I feel like is helpful for our listeners. And it's our podcast, so I'm going to fucking share it.
I mean, it's crazy to me that I think people have the audacity to even insert themselves in that.
Literally, I sassed the fuck. Honestly, some girl just wrote a comment and it just rubbed me the wrong fucking way, and I fucking went off on. I got mad in the comments. And this is, as an influencer, highly recommend not doing
what
I did.
Lauren loves just fucking burn the house down sometimes.
Ooh, she made me mad. Honestly, it was something had just pissed me off, and I read the comment at the wrong time, and I was like, hey girl, two people in this relationship, guess what? One of them, not fucking you.
I I saw a comment after a pod or two ago, whatever, when people went and looked at me singing with my ex.
Yeah.
And someone, like, I saw two or three people in like a little thread go, oh shit, I didn't know Jeremy used to date her. I always thought he was like a piece of shit clout chaser that we didn't fucking like. But now that I watched the podcast, I didn't even know who it was.
Right.
I realized he's not. And I'm like, so you had such a strong opinion on
right,
me.
Right. Off of a 3-minute singing video.
Off of some other shit or whatever. And then you got to know, I guess, this new person, and then realized you couldn't be right about the other one because the new person didn't personify that. That makes no fucking sense.
I want to drop kick. I want to roll heads.
Let's hop into the stories before we just, anyway, go ahead.
Woo! I'm sweating, blanket off. Oh,
Friday
bitch.
Friday night.
Oh, bitch.
Turn it up. Also, we had a lot of nature patterns here.
Oh yeah, this is my god, this is the Barefoot Dreams blanket. Highly recommend, softest blanket I've ever touched in my entire life. A little overpriced, gonna be honest, but maybe something to add to the Christmas list. I guess when this comes out, it'll be nearly Christmas. Yeah. Anyways, so I feel like my two most serious relationships I came out of with two not two, just like a few different like notable, and I don't want to say damaged goods, because I don't necessarily think that like I felt broken or damaged. I just feel like when you leave a relationship, you come out of it with certain habits or just like reactions or insecurities. And also like on the positive side, from every relationship, you just learn so much. So it's not to say that like I came out of each one being like, ah shit, chalk up my new trauma from this relationship. Like that's not at all like what this is. But on the topic of broken, of damaged goods.
What a disclaimer.
What a disclaimer. I mean, oh, just fuck. I know. I'm so guilty of always feeling like I have to explain myself, and I absolutely do not.
You don't.
I know. I don't know. I just feel like the more context that you give, it's like if people are going to make assumptions, I'm like, okay, well, let me put the info on a platter for you. Here
I get
it is.
And like that's also why I think people think, and for good reason, you're a non-problematic like figure.
Right.
But at the same time, like, speak your truth. It's your truth. And if people don't like it, whatever.
Yeah, guess what? There are lots of other podcasts to go listen to. Yeah, if you don't want to be a Wild Till Niner.
Well, also just like we're trying to foster an environment where you can be honest.
Yeah, 100%.
And if people don't like the honesty, that's okay. Just go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's so true. We do foster honesty.
Will you tell your fucking story?
Yes. Okay, so two serious relationships.
I love you.
The first one. No, my brain is going in like 400 different directions tonight. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't stay on topic. So in my first year's relationship, it would have been at about 18. I started dating this guy, and about 6 months in, he developed epilepsy, which was, you know, something that as an 18-year-old, you were absolutely not expecting. And he also had a difficult and like very lots of moving parts family life. So
His family life was
just like challenging. It was challenging.
Okay.
And I did this to myself. Like, this was not something that he asked of me or expected of me. Like, I fully took on this role because, like, it is what I wanted to do and what I thought was right in the time. But I eventually transitioned myself from, like, a partner to a caregiver. And it made me suffer as a partner to him. You know what I mean?
Well, I feel like at a certain point in time, watching my like grandparents get older, and obviously one suffers after they've been together for 50 years, right? Like, obviously, right. It's not to say they're not in love and they don't love each other, but just like when your energy and time and emotions are starting to be kind of spent and prioritized to keep them healthy,
right?
Or to feel like you need to be there for like survival purposes,
right? Right.
And not, I'm turned on by this person, we're going on dates and this and that, or can like be free and fun and 18 years old. Like,
yeah,
I think that it would be a miracle if you were able to keep both of those alive without either suffering.
Right, for sure. And I just felt like I was not being a good partner. I was being a great caregiver, honestly.
Right.
But yeah, I was investing so much energy into that like the other side of like what I should have been providing was suffering. And so again, like this didn't leave me with like trauma or like damaged goods, but like moving forward, I was so scared to accidentally fall into that role into my next serious relationship. I was like, what if this is just like something that I do? Like,
well, right. And obviously, like, you know, he had epilepsy. So it's like, there's obviously a big piece there. But I think when things don't work out and you go into the next relationship and you don't want to go into that space again, I think it's easy to go, well, maybe I did take on certain things that I could take on in any relationship. And,
right.
And it is on me. I feel like we look inward all the time.
Absolutely.
And just blame.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, the other big piece of this too, and like I've spoken to this in any mental health video that I've ever done, is that during a seizure, it is like the epitome of loss of control. And I did not handle that well. I did so poorly with that. I should have been in therapy, like working through that. I should have been talking to professionals, and I wasn't. I was just so stressed, and I was putting so much energy into like this role that I had placed on myself that I didn't need to make so intense. And it was very much like the root of developing severe anxiety and OCD because of like this lack of control that I would experience over and over and over with epilepsy. And like, it was just so crazy because he was so chill about it. He was just like, yeah, like another seizure, like it's gonna keep happening. But it was definitely something that impacted my life moving forward. Again, not damaged goods. And I want to be very clear, we ended on great terms because that's kind of how the relationship fizzled out, is that we just realized that we were best friends. And I had, honestly, again, to my own demise, like I had placed myself in this caregiver role. And so when we parted ways, I definitely had a lot to work through mentally and also in terms of being in a relationship again. I was like, oh my God, is this a thing that I just like do? Like, I don't know. And so then I had all this new weight that I had made for myself on my shoulders to work through moving forward.
I wish you'd be a caretaker for me. That'd be great.
Bitch, are you kidding? I pick up your the amount of times that
I... If you bring up socks, if you bring up fucking socks. Ladies, I leave my socks places. I do it. My name is Jeremy, and I don't know how to pick up my fucking socks. I get hot. They get gross. I take them off. Sometimes on the couch. I'm sorry. That's my bad. I'm bad at that. I'm really bad. But you know what? I'll vacuum under the fucking cushions. Yeah. I have no problem. I'll rip that thing open. Yes, I know. You pick up my socks. I know.
Yeah. No, but I genuinely, like, going into my next relationship, I was like, oh my God, like, I need to be conscious of this so that I don't end up just like doing this with everyone that I date. And also, I mean, you always hear of like the stories of, you know, the girl cooking and cleaning and taking care of like the immature boy or whatever. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my God, like, I need to make sure that I don't ever do this again. Like, I don't, obviously epilepsy was not a part of it where it would like provoke that like maternal instinct, I guess. I don't know. But that was like a big pivotal shift, especially in terms of mental health, like moving forward out of that relationship. Do you want to talk about my next round of trauma, or do you want to take a turn?
I gotta be honest.
You're like, I'm good.
Well, no. Okay. So let me give the flip side of this, right? Okay. I am fully aware and so apologetic to probably three or four girls who I dated along the way,
okay,
who were 100% undeniably a better partner to me than I was to them.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
No doubt I was not as good of a boyfriend as they were a girlfriend.
Okay.
It's not even a fucking like question, right? And I'm sure that I left
a trail
with at least two of them, like that just like they got out of the relationship and just like, you know, like the mom that just like has been working all day and has been cooking and cleaning and taking care of kids and this right. and that or whatever. And like, you know, the partner comes home and they look at her and they're like, oh, what's wrong? And they're like, I just don't want to do this shit anymore. I left them like that for sure.
Oh,
like, absolutely. I lived my life and everything was fun. And like the cute things about like being young and carefree and just like having fun and going wherever and being social is only cute if you can flip that and be mature when you need to be mature.
Right.
And that's something that I've learned in the past few years. Mm. Before, it was just go with the fucking flow.
Yeah.
We'll see what way. Be interested in things you're interested in. And if you're not interested in it, fuck it. Like, that was my attitude, right? And, like, that's cute when you're 14. That's not cute when you're 24.
No. I mean, and I feel like a lot of guys would get away with it at 24, but it's, like, not fucking cute when you're, like, your late 20s, the second half of your 20s.
I mean, yeah, and realistically, like, sooner the better. But at the same time, like, as long as you learn, right? And, like, obviously, I feel terrible for any of the trauma that I called. And I didn't cause, like, serious trauma to anybody, by any means. I'm kidding. But at the same time, I am aware, and I take full responsibility of the fact that, like, even when I wasn't being single and being a fuckboy, like, being in a relationship, I wasn't mentally and emotionally mature enough to call things off.
Right.
And not even saying in like a cheating like capacity. What I'm saying is that I saw signs when I was a teenager that like, this is not going to work. Like, we're not that compatible. I know we're not going to get married or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of fun. Or like, oh, I like them for these reasons. Or like, I like them in this part of my life, right? But like, you can't compartmentalize. When you're dating, and you're especially when you're not married yet, right? Especially as a kid, don't look at your relationship like the do any and everything to keep it afloat.
Right.
If things are going poorly, yes, that sucks. But don't deny that it's going poorly.
Oh my, I'm the fucking queen of that.
But I'll always remember I had a girlfriend in college and she didn't smoke. She didn't drink. She was one of those that could like go to a party until 2 a.m. and just have energy and dance and have fun and
Jesus
go home.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, those people kind of worry me. I'm going to be honest. Not natural. Exactly. It's not natural.
And of course, like, you know, me being like the horny college kid, I was like, oh, she was very intelligent and fun. And like, she had a great personality. I really did like her.
Right.
But like, I like to drink. I like to smoke. I like to go to parties. I like to do all that shit at 18 or 19 or 20. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And so when I felt like this person either judged me for doing it and right. we got in a fight with it later, or later on, if she wasn't with me and it wasn't even like bothering her, then she like found out that I was drinking.
Ooh.
Like, it was like, this, well, realistically, it was like a mother figure getting mad at me for not behaving in the way that she wanted me to behave.
Right, or the expectations that she had set for you.
Right, so of course, that ended poorly because I felt like, you know what, you're trying to change me. And of course, she felt like, why aren't you giving me the things that I respect, that I need to make this thing happen? And neither of us were right or wrong here, but at the end of the day, we weren't right for each other.
Yeah.
And so it's just like getting to that place earlier and being like, why are we doing this? We could be great friends. I like you. You like me. We're attracted to each other. I get that. 8 billion people in the world. Why force it?
Other fish in the sea.
Right.
Other one penis men.
Right.
Out there.
Right.
Yes.
I wasn't necessarily looking for that, but yes.
Right. Sorry. One vagina women.
Never had two, but I'd give it a roll.
That exists. That does exist.
Listen, as I just said, if things ever go poorly with us, if you have two vaginas out there, you're not out of the cards yet.
Okay, got it. So we know what filter you would use if that was an option.
Yeah, that's not off the table.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Now, three seems like a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's very confusing. That seems...
If there's any new listeners to the podcast this week, we just fucking lost them. They're like, what? Why does anyone listen to this?
Genuinely? Yeah. All over the place.
But no, it's an important piece. And I also think it's very, very important for both... Well, really, anyone to hear. Feeling broken and feeling hurt and feeling wrong and feeling not good enough is natural. That sucks, but it's natural. Our first instinct, unless you were a sociopath, is to look and go, wow, I can't believe I wasn't able to do this thing that I wanted to do when I understand that that's what I should have done and that's what he or she wanted and all this shit, right? It's important to understand that, like, it's okay to feel that, but don't then focus your energy on the last relationship or what didn't happen and just like that's going to happen again. Focus on what is most important to you and your priorities and just make sure you're focusing on getting those in the next stage.
Right. And I think that like ties up a really nice bow on top of an answer for the initial question that we like started off with that was on the Wild to Nine hotline. Like, I think that's exactly what we were saying. Like, focus on the future and focus on your priorities.
Do yourself a favor. I wish we knew this person so we could reach back out to them.
I know.
And take a moment. I know it's fucking hard, but actually thank yourself for getting out of the relationship that you were not supposed to be in. That individual is engaged. They're moving on.
Absolutely.
Wish them well.
Absolutely.
Holding a grudge is like taking your own poison.
It literally is. You are ruining single-handedly your own energy because it doesn't affect them. Like they don't know. They don't care. It does not affect them.
Absolutely. And
it is. Yeah, it's so toxic for yourself.
Nothing more time-consuming than hate.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You know what? Fucking at those six people in my DMs.
Oh, fuck off, kids.
So I think this ties in really nicely to
your next broken story.
My next broken story. Okay, yeah, exactly. So my next relationship, and I don't know if this is because women are literally biologically on, kind of like a science clock, but things in relationships, like relationships, a science clock. Yeah. But like relationships just tend to get more serious as you get older. You know what I mean? Like that's just the matter of fact of it. Like,
well, so you have more like things to base off of. It's a wisdom, right?
Right.
Like I think of you in comparison to all the things that have come before this.
Right. Exactly. You're right. It's
just short of amnesia. That's going to happen.
It's perspective. So yeah, I don't know. It was my most recent relationship that felt the most serious out of all the relationships that I had. I was the oldest, you know, he was 3 years older. So he was even older than I was. And I mean, I guess the science clock does not apply. If you were very like vocal and mind made up about not having kids, then you know what? Like all your relationships equally as serious. But it is realistic, you know, as you get closer to 30, that your relationships become more serious if you want kids in the future.
Actually, we have a couple psychiatrists and psychologists that watch this pod. Could you elaborate? And if you comment, we will try and find it and pin it. Will you elaborate on if there's any specific end of puberty or developmental pieces with your brain, at like the end of your 20s, that whether you're going to have kids or not, you just have a need to be with someone that you're attracted to.
Right.
Can you speak to that? Because we're not anywhere near qualified to speak
to
that.
Oh, no.
But I feel like whether you're going to have kids or not,
right,
there's still a, because like, I think the like guys' brains are fully developed at like 26, 27.
Right.
Right?
I don't know about that, but okay.
Well, like half-baked, right? But like, this is final form. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But like, I assume that like our brains, if we are coming to a place where it's actually developed, we are looking for something, even if we don't have a reason to... to have to do that in the next year or two. I feel like it's just like a thing that we're drawn to.
I mean, I think it's how you look at security and stability. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there are a handful of people who want to be, you know, in not a monogamous relationship. And if they feel stable and secure in that, you know what I mean? Like, that's for them. You know, that's the right fit for them.
Whatever makes you whole.
Right, whatever makes you whole. But I think that there are a lot of people who want to enjoy their life, enjoy their successes, enjoy their failures with someone. And that's like having that security and that stability. And whether that's ingrained in us from like way back when, or if it's just a science thing, like, I don't know. I have
no idea. All we do, like, especially like our age in the 90s, just like all we did up like growing up was watch every movie that had the happy ending where a literal guy and woman
right.
ended up together, right?
Right.
I will be interested to see, now that we just know more and we're like not shaming people for not getting married or not having kids or being with the same sex, right? It'll be interesting to see if that narrative continues in the next 10, 20 years.
Right. And I think that people still want to procreate, they want to have babies, and they want that stability, you know, and that security of like having their person. And like, I don't think, I hate when people shame someone for being like, you're so desperate to get married, you're so desperate to like find your person. And it's like, that's a priority in my life. Like, honestly, if your priority is to go and fucking have ice cream every Sunday, fuck you. Like, that's your priority. Enjoy that. I'm not judging you for that.
Okay,
like,
that sounds very close to my priorities though. So let's not down me too much on that.
I'm not gonna lie. I literally have an ice cream place picked out that we're gonna go to tomorrow, and I'm very excited.
On Saturday.
Yes. Sorry. Right. So it's not a Sunday thing. It's a Saturday.
We digress.
Thing. So fucking shit. Now I'm thinking about that ice cream place. You got me off topic. What was I gonna say?
You get that blackberry crumble ice cream.
No, it's something better than the blackberry crumble ice cream. Babe.
Yeah, we'll believe when I see it. But go ahead.
Anyways.
Broken story number two.
Okay, so most recent relationship felt the most serious because I was 25 or however old I was. And I think the main issue, I've spent a lot of time, honestly, after this question, like trying to figure out like what the most impactful kind of takeaway that I took from it that could relate to how she was feeling. And the most top line way that I can describe it was that I was so desperate to grow and progress forward, and not even in a relationship sense, I think in a maturity sense, in just like a growing up sense, like just in a literal growing in all facets way. And I felt like I was, do that one more time, bitch. And I just felt like I was dragging my partner behind me and forcing them into growing. And that is just so, so unhealthy. You know what I mean? Like, I think at the beginning, when you're just like so enamored with each other, you know, you are like, oh, we're obviously on the same page. Like, we're obsessed with each other. Like, we're attracted and we're compatible and laugh the same things. But when things start progressing, you know, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, and things are still, you know, for that person on day one page, and I'm on page 200 being like, okay, I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to progress. I'm ready to like, this is serious for me. I don't know if this is serious for you, but this is serious for me. And you're investing this time and this energy into it. It's hard not to, I think, A, come away with that being like, why does this person not want to grow with me? Again, like looking inward and trying to find the fault in myself and being like, oh, well, like, why don't they love me enough to want to take this next step with me in life? And what am I doing wrong, or what could I do more of? And you look inward, and it's absolutely not about that. We were just two people on two separate pages with different priorities that were not growing at the same rate. And it was just so unhealthy the way that I had perceived it, I guess, and the way that I was blaming myself for not growing at the same rate.
Well, I think at the time you didn't misconstrue. You looked at the next steps as growth, and that's where you wanted to be, and that's right. What you were prioritizing. And he looked at what you wanted to do and felt like you wanted him to change.
Absolutely.
And
100%.
There's a big difference between looking at the next step and going, I can't wait to get there. I want to grow into that.
Right.
And looking at the next step that somebody else has laid out, not being quite ready for it, and making it feel like you either have to defy your partner or
defy how
yourself.
You feel. Yeah, exactly. Right. Totally. 100%. And I mean, the least healthy thing you can do there is do an ultimatum of any kind.
Right.
You know what I mean? Being like, well, like, I'm ready for this. And if you don't want to also be ready for this, maybe we're not right for each other. But at the end of the day, that's kind of the reality of it. Like, if you're not on the same page to grow together, like, you can't force that person to grow.
Right. To me, and I don't mean sales 101, let's hop in there.
Here we go.
No, the biggest, like, people, the ultimate thing is it's the least healthy.
Yeah.
And literally in sales, we talk about different types of yeses. And sometimes you get to a close and people say yes, right? They're interested. And then they never pick up the phone again because they didn't know how to say no.
Right.
That's the worst type of yes you can get, because then the other person that's presenting that ultimatum goes, but they said yes. Why didn't I get a yes? What you need and what people should try and learn how to do is find that bridge and common ground by saying, this is my priority. This is what I want. This is my next step. And I understand that that is not necessarily the same page that you're on. What do you want me to do?
Right. Okay. And so probably not as eloquently, but I mean, we had a version of that conversation. And I think one of our main issues was solved with money to literally buy time.
Right.
And that, like, that really fucked me up. Like, full transparency, that fucked me up for a long while. Where we were just so far off on our communication to not be able to have a transparent conversation of why we were on such different pages and how to bridge that gap and what the priorities were and like what our options were, that it was like putting a money band-aid on it for an entire year.
Well, what's interesting, and it was money for you, but I think people in similar situations will put an asset or something that is somewhat of a commodity, but it's like the most important commodity. Like, that's the one thing you did have to spare, right? That was important. Of course, money is important, right? And investing in something together is important, but it's the one thing that I think you both had that obviously is important, but could give without sacrificing anything and everything else. And that's why I think it left you feeling vulnerable.
My brain just malfunctioned. Wait, what?
You didn't want... You weren't asking to buy a house together. You were asking to take the next step together.
Yes, correct.
And
I can't believe I'm having relationship theory, but my last relationship with my new relationship.
No, you wanted to be together and you wanted to move towards whatever, you know, what that looked like, right?
Right.
And he wanted to satisfy your itch to continue to keep things the way they were without, you know, self-destructing. Right.
Yeah.
So you both came to the conclusion of the most important thing that you were willing to do together, to give up,
right.
To get somewhere that you thought was progress, but realistically, it didn't really get you to where you needed to be. Mm-hmm. It just created a distraction that was an investment and something you guys did together, but still actually didn't get you anywhere near where you needed to be.
100%. It was a band-aid. It was absolutely a band-aid on so many more deeper issues that needed to be solved. Like, honestly, we probably should have just broken up at that conversation.
Right.
Like, that's where, instead of patching a Band-Aid on it for another year and, you know, going through conversation after conversation of, like, the growth, the why are we on different pages situation, and just the reality of it is that, like, we are just two different people, and it just didn't work out. And that's
which is totally okay.
And which is totally okay. I know.
You're throwing things that feel like the next, and that obviously is the next step. But it's not actually getting you to the thing that you think you want.
Right.
And it's just making you feel good temporarily.
Exactly. Oh, that's so true. Yeah, the engagement is like the perfect comparison.
People do it all the time with babies too.
Right.
We'll have a baby. That's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
That is it's not like a ring. You can't return that. That is much more permanent.
No, I just like it sucks because on the outside, right, this girl that feels broken, although she's feeling terrible inside, and it's not that that's not normal, right? It's okay to feel terrible, right? It's understand to feel that pain is okay, right? To internalize it and understand it. But if she were to go through the grocery store right now, it's not like there's a little label overhead that says broken goods,
right?
It's inside, right? It's what she's feeling. So it's finding that common ground between realizing that, okay, I feel broken, but I am not externally, or I'm not broken to somebody else, right?
That's exactly what it is. Like, I'm not broken to somebody else is like, that should be in the marquee above the podcast. I am not broken to someone else. Because like when I left that relationship, again, just like it destroyed me being like, why was I not good enough? Like, why was it, what was it about me that wasn't enough love or enough whatever it was, enough future that caused this? And eventually it was just like, oh, well, like, fuck, this probably is not going to happen again to me, like, realistically. And I mean, it fucked me up in the sense that, like, it skewed my idea, I guess, of commitment and what commitment could look like and what commitment should feel like. You know what I mean? It changed my perspective, and I think actually opened up my perspective to, like, what commitment actually means. Because buying a house with someone is a commitment on paper.
Right.
But emotionally and, like, healthy relationship-wise, it was not a commitment. And so I think it actually helped me progress my perspective on what that should look like, what it should feel like, and how it should be done together.
Yeah. I mean, at its core, a lot of times marriage can be a business arrangement or it can be a lifelong arrangement, right? Like, yeah. It's what you make of it, right? So if you build a relationship together or if you build a house together, right? It either is it's symbolic or it's actually something that you're willing to commit to.
That was deep, babe.
Fuck yeah.
That was deep.
I don't even have any whiskey right now.
That was deep.
Shit. What's interesting to me, and this is like such a different, I don't know how to say this next, I guess, experience and story in a smooth way or presentation, so forgive me if I kind of like stutter through it.
Oh, this feels sexual. Lay it on us.
It is sexual.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it's sensitive, but I think it's important to share.
Okay. Interesting.
So in the middle of my Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, Raya, League, Ho phase, right?
Yes, that one.
I cast a very, very wide net.
Right, two vaginas.
Well, I didn't run into that. Okay. I didn't run into that. And I don't know how to like present this information in a non like serious tone, but joking way. But like, and it wasn't anything that was like, you know, sad or anything. But I matched with this girl, I remember, and we got talking. Actually, and she was a big musician, and she was writing a good songwriter or whatever. And we like, talked about music and whatever, and was all over just like text or whatever. And I remember the conversation came up around just expectations of what she wanted. And I distinctly remember just how articulate she was in what she was interested in. And she shared with me, like, she didn't share like details, but she said that she had come out of a relationship or a situation where she had been sexually abused.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was like a one-time thing or something that happened a lot, right? But that was something that had happened and that she was currently getting through it. And there was something that she was processing. And I say that she was very articulate because I remember like reading this as someone I hadn't met yet. And the way that she almost approached it was so open and trying to figure it out herself, but right. Figuring out with other people that she was very much just like, it's not to say that I don't want to feel feelings of attractions or whatever, but I am currently not interested in having sex at all. But I am interested in getting to know people and being sexual with them as long as they're okay and comfortable understanding that I need to be in control.
Good for her. Honestly, that is so crazy respectable that one, she was able and felt comfortable enough to make that like very candid statement. That's so vulnerable. Like, well, that is crazy vulnerable.
And I remember like she said it in such a clear and distinct way. I remember that. And then she was like, is that okay?
Right.
And I don't want to even hang. I don't even want to give you any idea. I want to manage the expectations, be very clear about that. I was like, that's absolutely okay. I was like,
right.
I said something to the effect of, I am, I hear you. I absolutely understand that completely. Please, guide, let's hang out, right? But like, if anything makes you uncomfortable, just let me know, right? And
right.
I'm aware of that, please, but just like, let me know, but absolutely. And we hung out like a handful of times. And like, we did hook up. And it was this, honestly, very healthy, overly communicative kind of experience or whatever. And I remember at the end, the last time we like hung out or whatever, I actually was the one who was like, you know, I like hanging out with you. I think we could be friends. We could talk about music. I am kind of like ready to move on to, I don't know what it is, but like, I want to like bookend whatever this is.
Right.
And she was like, yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. You were great or whatever. And we actually didn't talk after that, but like she was very, very nice. And like, I think so many people would be like, oh, that's weird. That's uncomfortable. Maybe it is for some people. And
right.
Maybe for someone who was struggling with the opposite of the same thing, maybe that would bring them closer or farther apart. But the reason I bring it up is she obviously felt like broken goods.
Yeah, for
she
sure.
Felt a very, very real pain and insecurity and something that she needed, not practice, but she needed to regain through experience.
She needed to regain trust, I'm sure, in men.
In
to
men
be honest.
Not
yeah.
taking advantage of her.
Right, right.
And it's very easy to joke and be like, oh, so the girl just wanted to hook up, but she wanted to be in control. Like, it's very, like, that joke writes itself.
Right.
And the reason that I bring it up is because I think men, women, anyone needs to understand that the other side sometimes needs to be vulnerable, but they need to be vulnerable by almost facing that fear head on. And the other person needs to either sign up and be okay with that, mm-hmm. or communicate, you know what, I'm not comfortable with that, or I don't want to take a part in that. And right. either side's okay.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think also, and something that I took away and like reflected on afterwards, after my last breakup, was that like I should have been vulnerable in feeling, in saying and communicating that I understand that I feel like I am nagging you, and that I feel like that I am forcing you that, and that I feel like I'm trying and you feel like I'm forcing you to change. Like, I feel like that would have been such a better and healthier conversation rather than me being like, well, I don't understand why you don't want to move in, but you bought a house with me. You know what I mean? Like that, that's not productive. That is not productive. That is not going to go in the right direction. And had I just been more vulnerable and admitted to, I guess, the things that hurt my ego that I just didn't want to voice, or maybe I hadn't even admitted them to myself.
Say what you want to say.
Say what you fucking want to say. Oh,
don't
my God.
Say the thing that you think isn't going to get you judged by the other person, right?
I mean, I don't even know if it was that. I just think that I didn't want to
I don't think you admitted it to yourself.
Right. I don't think I want to admit to my ego that that's what was happening. You know what I mean? Like, I was trying so desperately to have this person want to grow with me. You know what I mean? That's what it was. It was like, I wanted them to want that. And I couldn't admit that to myself, that there just was the possibility that they just didn't want that.
I think the misnomer that I even hear you say all the time is the word serious. It was the most serious relationship, the most serious relationship.
Right.
Well, I think that the biggest thing I learned coming out of a relationship where I got engaged is that it's not about how serious the relationship is as to... The level of seriousness has nothing to do with whether the relationship is healthy or not.
For sure. Yeah, 100%.
Right. The relationship is healthy if both individuals are able to grow in the way that they want to grow, and that complements the other person.
Right. You're growing together, and it's healthy, and you're supporting each other and growing towards the same goals and priorities. And not to say that they all have to be aligned, but just like the pillars of your priorities are aligned and you're working towards them together, but also individually, and they're weaving in and out, and it makes sense.
Well, someone's goal can be their own goal that the other person doesn't have an active hand in making, right?
Oh, totally.
I could want to quit my job tomorrow and start a bakery, and that requires a sacrifice from you mm-hmm. to be able to enable that from a financial sense, an emotional sense, all these things, right? And we would have to come together. And by the way, I'm not starting a fucking bakery.
I was going to say, Jeremy can't cook for shit.
I can't cook for shit. Yeah.
I can't believe you even went to that metaphor.
I tried to pick up the most like far out thing. Yeah. But like, you know, if I was going to pursue a dream or a passion or something that was really important to me, that realistically, whether I liked it or not, was going to impact you.
For sure.
Right? Like my salary and my health insurance and all that's gone, right? Overnight. Like, that's going to be something that, although you don't have an active hand in like, whether or not that dream comes true, you're going to be there in other ways.
For sure.
And if you're not comfortable with that, don't put the goal over the relationship and vice versa, because one's going to have to be sacrificed. You have to be on the same page.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, fucking shit. Wow. Couples therapy for past couples, for our past relationships. I love that.
Broken hearts.
Broken hearts, broken people.
Here we are, babe. We're not broken.
No, not broken at all. Fuck. I'm not kidding. It maybe took me 2 weeks to be like, fuck, someone's going to want me. Shit.
Right. It's funny because I don't know if it was date 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it was. I remember, and this is probably.
With me?
Yeah, with you.
Oh, with me.
Well, just saying something outside of me being like, so real quick, you have. Oh, it was before we were going to date. That's right. It was like date 3 or 4. And I remember I was very much just ask you point blank. So to be clear, you have fucked your ex again, right? Since you broke up, and you have. You have hooked up with some random person that's not that ex as well. I'm not the first hookup, and you haven't not hooked up with your ex yet, right? And you're like, yes to both. I was like, great, we can move forward. But to a degree, it's like I almost remember what it was like for me to just like certain things that I had to just check off the bucket list before I could really move on.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you just like, okay, closure, move it on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. You, I mean, closure. I mean, that we could do a whole fucking podcast on the topic of closure, but it's so important and you need it for yourself and it's for you and you only.
Yeah. Don't people get caught up in the, well, I just feel like we have closure. We have,
No, don't worry about we. It is for you.
Don't worry about we. It is we, big for guy. You worry about you.
Big guy.
But it's true. It's not just if someone, if your partner's like, the other person's like seeking closure or whatever, that's one thing if you feel like you need to give that to them. Right. But if you don't feel like you need to give it to them, as long as you have closure, move on.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Move on.
Next. Thank you, next. Oh, God. Are you going to get me a new heart for Christmas?
You have mine.
Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, my God. Ah! I hated that.
No, you didn't. Why? You hate that you have my heart?
No, I don't hate that.
Because I love that I have your heart. It's the like most precious thing in my entire world.
Oh my God. Here you go. Salesman on a roll here. He's wiggling his eyebrows. I hate that. I hate it. Okay. Well, I hope everyone has an amazing holiday season. Shit. This is going up on the 22nd, I think.
Oh,
so,
shit.
Yeah. It's like, it's the motherfucking holidays.
Merry Christmas,
bitch.
Eve, Eve.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Eve, Eve. Eve. Yeah. And what day of Hanukkah?
Oh, God.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
I have to call any one of my friends.
Yeah. Literally any one of my friends. Yeah. Okay, well, I hope everyone has a great holidays. Have a great holidays?
You just have a great holiday.
Have a great holiday. Fuck, I don't know. I'm delusional today. I don't even know. No, I have no substances in my body either. Like, this is the real raw me
it's
right
the
now.
The shit I deal with every day.
Woo! Yeah, my brain is going 100 miles an hour right now. I don't know why.
Please, hope to God by the time that you listen and watch this, I have a present here, Lauren. Because if not, you'll
I'm
know
getting a gift card.
If not, you'll know in an episode or two when it's our last one and it just ends abruptly and the show's canceled.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and yeah, I'm getting a gift card. Fuck me.
What fucking podcast has this been, Lauren?
This has been, you know, I
BFFs. Oh, we already did that one.
I'm not going to lie. I really stay in my own like four favorite podcasts, you know, maybe even three, maybe even two.
Okay. this is the Sonny and Cher podcast. I will do you know Sonny and Cher were?
Yes, you fuck.
Why so aggressive today? once this show's over, we have to go hang out and love each other. So I
do you know Sonny and Cher are? Jesus Christ.
All the
know.
Ladies in the audience that are listening right now.
Wink.
She's usually nice
the
to
wink.
Me.
The
tonight,
wink.
She's on the one. Wink.
Okay, yeah. We're gonna go. Okay, bye.
Bye.